Hiya, kids. Here's an important message from your Uncle Tommy. Don't buy drugs. Become a podcaster, and they'll give you them for free. Love Actually is coming up next.
Haven't Seen It with Tim Sestito and Tommy Tevenay. Hello, everybody. Welcome on in. Thank you all so much for listening today. This is a podcast where one of us is watching a movie for the very first time, and today that is Tommy. Love Actually, the 2003 romantic comedy, question mark at the end of comedy, romantic film for sure. All about love.
Love it all is all it is, or Christmas is all it is.
Love is all it is, I guess. All these people are like childishly in love, like to maybe like a seventh grade level, you know. This was a big movie. This was a big hit when it came out in the mid 2000s. It cemented itself as a holiday classic. Is it actually, though? That's what we're here to discuss today. We're going to discuss that here. Tommy, your first time viewing Love Actually.
So I remember, like, when this movie first came out, like 20 years ago, my parents rented it on, like, on demand or something like that on cable. And I remember catching, like, the last, like, 10 minutes of everyone at the airport. And I was like, oh, this seems like a movie I don't really care for. And it was cute. It was a movie I watched, to be honest, while doing laundry. But some scenes are some. It's a kind of like an anthology movie where, like, my stance on a lot of anthology movies is that you can't really rate it as a whole, really, in some ways. You have to rate it by each vignette. And some of the vignettes were awesome and I liked them. Some of them were just like, all right, like we could have just cut this for time.
It's not an anthology movie though, because everything is
It's a little different.
winky 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 connected. Like, haha, look at this, look at how connected these people are, and that's pretty much it. Yeah, I don't like this movie very much. When you were like, let's watch Love Actually, I was like, fuck. It's not on my holiday cheer list. It's not on my holiday rewatch list. It's I
Yeah,
think
you're
it's
like, fuck this movie.
I think it's a self-indulgent mess with a really sloppy script that hides behind a lot of star power, a lot of good performances, but it is like not a good movie at all. That's just my take. I'm
Damn,
just
laying it out
I'm
there.
just laying it out there.
So that's
We'll
the
dive in.
podcast we're going into. One kind of liked it, one just hated it.
Good. It's good when we differ on movies, Tommy. We don't have to be in lockstep,
Yeah.
week in and week out here. But before we do that, we should talk about movies we saw. Tommy, besides the sex pervert movie you just went and saw, which we're covering in the next week on the podcast, what else did you see?
All right, so I went back to the theaters to see a new movie, which I haven't done in a couple of months, but I saw The Order, the new Jude Law, Nicholas Holt, Ty Sheridan, Journey Smollett movie with a cameo appearance by Marc Maron playing a radio host at Monologues Lost. Monologues a lot, a real stretch for Marc Maron. But anyway, so this is a great action thriller. You know, it really harkens back to like the 90s era of like, you know, Heat and like similar like bank robber movies. It was just a really interesting like little FBI thriller about Jude Law plays an FBI agent who is tracking down a group of white supremacists. The leader of them being Nicholas Holt, and who's like basically just trying to rob banks and kill people and stuff like that. And it's just really interesting premise. I think it's just a really good like little potboiler right here, and everyone really does their job correctly and in a way that's just so much fun. I think it's one of my favorites of the year so far I've seen. And yeah, I definitely recommend checking it out in theaters if you can. I mean, great sound effects in terms of like the action and stuff like that. Jude Law gives a great like performance. I feel like he hasn't been in a great movie in a while, and it's just good to see him back, and he's settled into his middle-aged cop role right here.
Middle-aged cop with a receding hairline, Jude Law. Yeah, I can see it. You know, I and just to be, you know, all cards on the table here, since this is the Love Actually episode, it's kind of surprising that Jude Law is not in this movie.
Oh yeah, he seems like he'd be like perfect for this, especially at the time, because like that we covered the Holiday a couple years ago, and like this is right in his wheelhouse.
Yeah, well, I mean,
But
The Holiday is a much better movie than this.
yeah, so but anyways, it's just really good to see like movies like this. I think we need more mid-budget thrillers back into the market. Like we really haven't had stuff other than like obviously like, your horror movies and stuff like that, which I love. I just think we just need more mid-budget movies just in general. And this hasn't really made a dent at the box office. I mean, I feel like a lot of people, this might be the first time they've heard of this movie, but it really just hit me in a way that was gripping. So highly recommend it.
The
The
Order is
Order.
worth checking out. All right. Well, I teased this on the last week's podcast. I talked about Wicked on last week's podcast, and now I'm going to talk about Gladiator 2, the revenge movie. It's good? Question mark. Denzel carries this movie so hard. Like, it's kind of insane. It's a bit of a mess, as is pretty much everything late Ridley Scott has done. That's to be expected. I this is a common complaint, but what's his name? What's the lead guy's name? Why am I blanking on it?
Paul Mescal.
Paul Mescal, he was like miscast in this role. Like, he didn't have that leader of men trait that they like kind of thrust onto him because, like, spoiler alert, he's Lucius, Maximus's son that was hinted about in the first Gladiator movie. He didn't really carry that kind of energy. Pedro Pascal was good in it. Carrie Coon, another fun performance in it. It's fun, like, and especially when like the gladiator scenes like actually happen, like the action scenes, they rock, they're awesome.
Was
It's pretty
Carrie Coon in
good.
that movie? Did you mean Connie Nelson?
Connie Nelson. I
Yeah,
got
for the
my
first Gladiator.
I okay. You know I get them conf I
Have to
get them
fact
con
check you in real time right here because it happens.
I appreciate it because I kind of just like I holstered Carrie Coon there and just kind of like was praying I was right, you know?
Yeah, before
I
we get a
was just
comment being like,
it's
excuse me, Carrie Coon was never in Gladiator 2. What are
actually
you guys
glad
doing
it's
right
the
here?
original Gladiator 1, okay? So what are you doing? Actually, I just get names confused all the time, and it's a me problem, okay? Because I didn't have the names in front of me, so
Yeah, exactly. Like, meanwhile, I make sure I pulled up like the Wikipedia page for The Order right before I started talking
of
about it, just
course
so
you
I
did.
could name the cast list of anyone I could forget.
No, I see, I'm just freeballing it. Like, I just want the people to
Yeah.
have my take the way it should be, not influenced by anything else. It's like kind of the same story, but also a different story, which I think is interesting. It's good, and like it gets better as the movie goes on. Like, it's a movie that each step of the way, it just you get a little bit more invested into it. Like, I'd argue the beginning was like the weakest part of the movie, and it just continually gets better and better and better up until the climax, which is awesome. It rocks. Gladiator 2, go check it out in theaters. If you really liked Gladiator 1, you'll probably enjoy Gladiator 2.
Yeah, so I still got to knock off my list for this year. I'm so far behind on new releases, whereas like every week you're like, yeah, I watched Wicked. And I'm like, I watched RoboCop 2 this week, which I did watch this week, and it was not good.
No.
Yeah,
Really?
shocker. RoboCop 1, great movie. RoboCop 2, shitty fun
RoboCop 1's
sequel.
a perfect movie, and RoboCop 2 sucks ass.
Oh, yeah. That's another story for another time. But
Another story for another time.
Erwin
Maybe
Kircher directed RoboCop 2. So he made one great sequel and one shitty sequel. So take
one
it for
great,
you
one
will.
shitty. Yeah, take it as you will. Speaking of a movie that spawned a lot of sequels, not officially, but I feel like Love Actually created the mass genre
Oh,
love stories. Like, I'm
the New
thinking like
Year's
New Year's
Day
Eve.
Valentine's. Or yeah,
Valentine's Day, Mother's Day, like all this
he's just not that into shit like that.
yeah, like this is just the creation of that mega cast ensemble piece that nothing has. We're covering Love Actually, baby.
Merry Christmas.
The holiday season, it's the perfect time of year to find the one you love.
Christmas is a time to do something about it.
Like what?
And tell them exactly how you feel.
You've got nothing to lose, and you'll always regret it if you don't.
Don't let the holidays go by without Love, Actually.
Hello.
Rated R.
So where do we even kick this conversation off? I mean, we got eight stories that all intersect around a high school, pretty much.
Essentially.
Essential, not even high school, it's like an elementary school that kicked together. This is the epitome of a bunch of love stories around the holiday time. Love being created, love falling out of love. I feel like I want to start it with Colin Firth and the Portuguese gal, who I this, see, this is a problem with my movie. Here's pro I'm going into problem numero uno. When I don't know the like when I can't even keep up with the names of these characters because they don't even get like named out loud, or they get named out loud and then I don't see them for 40 minutes. Like, I'm not going to remember the character's name. So it makes it difficult for
Oh.
me to come back and speak about it.
Oh no. I disagree with you. I think the cast in this movie is what works, because if this was just like random like actors you never heard of.
I didn't say the performance doesn't work. The
No, no,
performance.
no, 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 no. This is what I'm saying. This is where our argument happens right here. Where like I don't find a problem with that, because you have such fucking famous people in this movie. Where like you can just easily shorthand be like, yeah, Andrew Lincoln, Bill Nighy,
Okay,
fucking Hugh Grant right here, and that's all you need. You need to know it's like,
So
oh yeah,
then
this is that character. This is that famous actor I
you have
remember.
Colin Firth and that very famous actress that played the Portuguese girl.
Well,
Who was it?
you know it's the Colin Firth story, so you at least know what story you're back into.
Yeah, but now I'm disrespecting this Portuguese actress, maybe, who gave a very fine performance because I don't know her name and I don't know her character's name, so I can't even refer to them. And I think that's like a big issue I have with this movie is character in and of itself. It's like getting like
Her name is Lucia Moniz, and her name in the movie is called Arela, and Colin Firth is named Jamie. That's where
okay.
Wikipedia comes in handy.
I'm glad
Wikipedia has like Wikipedia plot summary. I've never seen a plot summary like this before that has like a just breakdown of each specific individual story for everything.
I like again, it's like it starts at 5 weeks to Christmas and we just get introduced to all these characters. But I feel like we don't, I feel like the only s story that I could even get interested in was Laura Linney, who played Sarah, because I'm looking at the IMDb page, because of course, how could I remember a character's name when I'm introduced to 750 of them?
That's why they cast the A-listers.
I thought she was the only character that actually like they kind of maybe explored a little bit, but I just feel like they gave them like characteristics and then didn't like they didn't explore like the meat of it, right? Like I started with the Colin Firth one because the movie pretty much opens on him after the narration. It's like one of the first segments we get him telling his wife he loves him her so much, so much. And then like 5 minutes later, he's back at the house seeing his brother, and then you just like the brother's in the house, and then you just hear in the background, like, come here, big boy. I need two rounds before Jamie comes back. And then like it cuts to him in France typing a book. Like, we don't really know what his response to it was, other than just falling in love with this Portuguese girl because she was cute and tried to save his book from going into a puddle of water. Like, you see what I'm saying here, where it's
Well,
like,
no, here's my overall thought about the movie. So this is like Richard Curtis is really like for his directorial debut. I mean, he was known for like writing a ton of rom-coms in Britain from the runtime, like Four Weddings and a Funeral, Notting Hill, Bridget Jones' Diary, future movies we might cover. And he also wrote the Mr. Bean movie in that time period, which is just the one outlier right there. You have a bunch of
Explains
rom-coms
why
and
Rowan
Mr.
Atkinson is
is
like
randomly in
in
this
this
movie.
for a minute. And also, if you look on the movie poster, like he is credited there, like on the bottom, like next to Bill Nighy, like Tim and Rowan Atkinson. Those characters never interact once. Rowan Atkinson is in the movie for 2 minutes.
To be fair, though, that's all marketing, though, because Rowan
I
Atkinson
understand. I
is
understand what it
a
is. I understand.
huge, huge star. But anyways, I mean, I feel like Richard Curtis, you know, he finally got his chance to do it. Apparently, when he was making this movie, he had two ideas for a rom-com. One was the Colin Firth story you're talking about, and one was the Hugh Grant story. And he realized, like, these are kind of similar. Why don't just combine them into one? And that's kind of like the point of the movie. We're in a way where it's just this movie is excess, where it's just it's 10 ideas for, that could be good rom-coms instead of knocking on the room to breathe. Some of them I liked. I mean, I really like the Hugh Grant story. But again, I could have seen the whole movie just in the Hugh Grant story of like a love triangle between the American president, the prime minister, and a maid. And instead, Billy Bob Thornton's in the movie for like 5 seconds. And it's like, you could have explained that a little bit more. You could have given him a little more meat in it right
Yeah, but
there.
it was like he like walked in on him hitting on Martin McCutcheon, who played Natalie. Again, this is going to be a lot of pausing and looking for character names here because whoo, talk about trying to figure this one out. So Hugh Grant's like the prime minister, like that's his character name on there. They don't even give him like the
Like,
real
yeah,
name.
fuck yeah, it's Hugh Grant. He's the prime minister.
It's the prime minister. Who gives a shit? And like he is taking over as prime minister. He like walks into the Downing Street or wherever they have the prime minister live. And they're like, "Here's your staff." And then Natalie's there, and he's like, "Oh." And it's like him by himself being like, no. You have to be single for a reason. Your job is your number one priority, mate." And then he just like they just have like cutie little converse, but not even that cute, just like kind of like passive conversations. Just like, "Oh, well, tell me where you're from. Where do you live?" "Okay, cool." Then Billy Bob Thornton's there because they're doing a deal with the United States. Vague. And then he like
Richard
walks.
Curtis does not want to touch upon politics at all. He's like, we're
Yeah,
just gonna skirt right
smart.
past
And
this.
again, for this kind of movie,
Exactly, it's
just
a smart idea in that movie. Yeah,
smart.
you don't need it.
I don't need international pot
Yeah,
conflict in
exactly.
this movie. But he like comes back in and he's like kind of groping Natalie, who Hugh Grant has a like. Well, first of all, can I just say, if you're like the prime minister, like unless he's worried, this is where it would have been funny is they made a Monica Lewinsky joke. They're being like, "No, it's just another Monica Lewinsky scandal ready to happen." Like, okay, got it. Not him just having like butterflies in his tummy, like he's a 7-year-old. Like, you have to be like ruthless to become prime minister of a country like England. Like, you have to be a ruthless cutthroat bastard. And he's just like this little like cutesy, like bobbing up and down kind of
It's
guy.
literally just what if Hugh Grant was prime minister and he's this typical nebbish shelf. But you know, I did like it. But it's so funny that like you know that big scene of where he tells like the American president being like, "We're not going to let you bully us, and we're going to take a stand right here." Apparently, in real politics, like Tony Blair, the prime minister of like the 2000s, said, "I know a lot of people in Britain want me to do something like Love Actually, and that's a movie." And Hugh Grant doesn't have to live with the next day and the day after and the months after. I do. I'm not gonna fucking do something like
He's
that.
like, yeah, you know, like that United States military. It's a good idea for me to be on their good side, just a smidgen of a good side. Then you have Liam Neeson, whose wife died, and like his point in the whole like.
Very familiar role
So
for
then
him.
he's on. So then,
Oh,
it's like him on a
Christ.
phone call with Emma Thompson's
Jesus
character, who's
Christ.
married to Alan Rickman. I'm like, okay, we're gonna get like a love triangle here. They talk once in the movie. Then it turns out Alan Rickman is cheating on Emma Thompson with his assistant Mia. And then all Liam Neeson does is like he's a stepfather to like a 10-year-old boy who has a crush on a girl, and like I can't tell you how badly I wanted to fast forward through every one of Liam Neeson's scenes, which is not something I should say.
Oh, come on. I disagree. I think that was a very cute and charming part of the movie right there, where like the little kid who's like so precocious in this movie. I feel like he turned like there's a line you always have a kid actor that's like too annoying or cute enough. I think this kid was cute enough. And I think it was great. This kid's still acting. He apparently was in Queen's Gambit recently. He's still just like a part of the UK thing. I thought that he was just like a little charming part of the movie where, like, he's like, I'm gonna be a drummer. And then all of a sudden, he just cut to the montage of Liam Neeson just hearing him play the drums and just be like, oh, God damn it. It
But
worked for me.
like, okay, like explore like your dead wife. I don't know. Like, I just felt like these characters were all paper mache cutouts, and it was like a kid playing like on Christmas Eve, like telling like different stories, and not like an actual movie or like actual characters. They were all very paper mache, very flimsy, and it was just very hard for me to get attached to these
Yeah.
characters.
Well, there's some points where like I was reading trivia on IMDb, and apparently like when this movie was they did the ABC Family like 25 Days of Christmas or whatever. This is one of the movies that they'd
They gotta
show.
censor a lot of this one, huh?
And they just essentially for the TV edit, they cut out the Martin Freeman scene with like
Yeah,
the
because
new
there's none.
double. It's cut out completely. Like, we're not gonna fucking play a bit of this on TV. There's nothing we can do whatsoever. It's like when they did Showgirls on VH1 and they had all the girls, like instead of just they instead of showing the nudity, they just had like was it like black
Assholes.
bars or like I think they drew on bikinis for those girls in that movie, if I remember correctly.
That would have been a better version than the version we watched, if we're going to be honest. That'd just be more
Yeah.
entertaining.
Which they could do that, but again, that was a scene where like I talked earlier in the top of the episode about how like there's some scenes that could have been cut. You could have easily just cut out the John Martin Freeman thing and given more room to other characters right here. I feel like it was just Richard Curtis rather had so many ideas for rom-coms in his head that he was just like, "Fuck it, just get them all on the page. It's gonna be everywhere right here." Instead of like he could have made like 10 movies out of this practically.
But like,
And then.
well, that's why. Let me talk about the Laura Linney one. That one was my favorite one of them all. It like we're introduced to her kind of right in the beginning. She works for Alan Rickman. He's like, "Hey, you're in love with Joe or Fabio, whatever his name is." It's kind of distracting. And she keeps getting these phone calls or whatever. And then the holiday party, they finally dance or whatever. They go home together. Then she gets the phone call, and I thought that was such like a very intimate moment of realizing like her brother is in a mental hospital and she's taking care of him, like, and it's something that gets in the way of her being able to actually find love. And I was like, I felt like in a vignette style, right, in this kind of like shorter condensed format of storytelling, it was a really effective way of showing what a character wants and what is holding them back, and kind of giving us that resolution. So, and like it was like for the re most of this movie is like 2 minutes next, 2 minutes next. Like that was like a 10-minute like sequence of them back at her apartment, like
And
everything going on.
I do like how they didn't give her like an immediate like resolution to that, where at the end of the movie, like the guy she hooks up with doesn't like say anything other than just like Merry Christmas and just leaves. Instead of like, you could have figured like it could have been a cliche thing of like, oh, I'm okay if your brother and whatever, we can get through this, we can work this together
Yeah.
to get. And the guy was a dick. So apparently when casting a part of Sarah Laura Linney, Richard Curtis auditioned so many British actresses and kept on saying, I want someone like Laura Linney. And the casting director eventually snapped. It was like, for fuck's sake, get Laura Linney then. And then Laura Linney auditioned and got the role. It's kind of funny like how that much that happens in like TV or movies where like Dr. Cox on Scrubs, they're like, give me a John C. McGinley type, and then he's told that they want John C. McGinley type, and it's like, so I have an offer? It's like, no, you have to audition. It's like, but you want me. Like, what's going on
Yeah. I feel like at
here?
that point it's more of a formality of like of that when you go in an audition, they're like, they're looking for your type. They've looked at 200 other a actors and actresses. Just go in and read. Like you'll get it most likely.
So I do like the how like the Bill Nighy part is like very much like the wraparound where like every character is watching him on TV. This was really Bill Nighy's like breakthrough in a way. I mean, he was always a working actor before this, but mostly just like British TV, British movies and stuff like that. He never was really a name until this. And this came out in like 2003. Next year was Shaun of the Dead. Then he had Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. And then he was in Pirates of the Caribbean and Underworld. So he started getting known in like American productions, and like he started getting broken out more and more and more. And I think he was
He
so charmed in this movie. I was like the douchey rock star.
all I'm hearing is that he just started getting paid by, like, he was in Underworld. Like, I remember that movie coming out. It looked horrible. Nobody went and saw it, but he probably got paid a fair penny to be in that movie.
Well, exactly.
That was
Like
Kate
that's what I'm
Beckinsale,
saying.
right?
Yeah, the Kate Beckinsale franchise. He was in like the second one, apparently. Or he was actually in the same year as this. But eventually, like, this is just what I feel like kind of got Bill Nighy the ball rolling on him, where now he's like a welcome presence in movies. Like he just popped up in The First Omen earlier this year, which he was great in. And I love just this like little sarcastic rock star guy. Apparently they wanted like Sting or Mick Jagger originally or some like actual rock star. Like, yeah, if we have an actual rock star, he's gonna demand more of the script, he's gonna demand more time. Just get an actual actor. And I feel like it worked better for the movie that it was just a really charming actor in the role.
I guess I was neutral on the Bill Nighy, but like the song sucked. I don't get why he won in the end. Like the song was terrible.
I think it was like an ironic thing that like everyone in Britain just liked how like candid he was about like, yeah, this is awful. Just take me, I guess. And
That is
they just
very Britain, very dry humor. The
yeah, of
Brits
him
have.
just going on like, the talk show, like the TRL version of the British has. And then he just goes on and just like draws like a dick over their faces, like, oh fuck you, fuck these guys. Like, what's going on here? I liked his performance. I thought that he was
No,
a good standout.
he was a very fun performance. It was a nice change of pace. Could we just go back, because we kind of glossed over the Martin Freeman and Joanna Page love story, where they're basically stand-ins. So if you don't know what a stand-in is when they're lighting a scene in a big movie, they'll have two extras essentially, and pay them to stand there for the lighting and whatever they need to do to make sure it looks good. So that way, when the big talent comes out, they don't have to do it. And they were filming a sex scene for a month, I guess. So they were just like naked and like not having sex, but like everything else, just having cutesy conversations. And then like they were in the first 15 minutes of the movie. And then like at the hour mark, I was like, was that it? Is
What is
that
that the
it?
extent of it?
Is that the extent of it? And then, like, with a half an hour left, it's like Joanna Page sitting on Martin Freeman's face and him being like, I really enjoy talking to you. Would you like to get a drink with me sometime? Do something Christmassy? And that is actually funny. But again, it's one of these things where it's like, if you only have a 10-minute idea for it, flesh out the rest of the meat of this
Oh, exactly. Like
cut out
it could
the
have been,
cut that out. Like I didn't
it
need
could have
it.
been cut out, or it could have been like a part of another character's story, something like that. It could have just been fleshed out. And I feel like, when I was talking earlier about the TV edit, about how this was cut out of the TV edit, I feel like it was no loss for the most part. As much as I like Martin Freeman, but yeah, again, like that's a part of the little part. So I feel like the lasting legacy of this movie and like the scene that everyone knows is the Andrew Lincoln
The
to me your
dropping
perfect scene.
notes.
Dropping notes to Keira Knightley, Keira
Oh.
Knightley recently said in an article, she's like, hey, I don't know if people know this. I was 17 when that movie came out. I was like, oh, that brings just such a dark cloud out of this movie. I mean, obviously your character's supposed to be like early 20s, I guess, but it's
Yeah.
still just so weird that just like Andrew Lincoln, who's probably like in his late 20s at that point, is going up to a 17-year-old's house and it's just like,
Well,
don't tell your
so the
dad.
other thing I saw about that was the scene with them before that. So if you're unfamiliar, the movie opens with Keira Knightley and Chitwell Ejiofor, who plays Peter, getting married. Mark and Peter, Andrew Lincoln's character is Mark, are best friends. The wedding scene is like eye-rolling cute cringe, you know what I mean? Where it's like they do All You Need Is Love and then just like brass section just pops up throughout the church, and I was just like, and
Fuck
then
this.
I was just like, fuck this shit. And then it's like kind of implied, like Mark is just around the wedding filming it. And then the next time we hear from it, Peters calls Mark and is like, hey man, I like Juliet wants to talk to you. She's like, hey, the wedding video came out bad. Can I use yours? And then it turns out he was just videotaping her the whole time and is secretly in love with her, despite there's no implication or indication or any relation between the two characters before that. He's just in love with her. And then that's when he does the dropping notes scene, which let's put it into this like big old, like what's actually going on here. Peter is this man's best friend. He is in love with his wife. And on Christmas Eve, he tries to take his wife away from her. That is what is actually happening. And people are like, oh, can you believe how cute this scene
So
is? No,
romantic. Oh
it's
my
so
God.
romantic. I'm like, this is gross.
And
This is disgusting. Like,
what's so funny is that, like, you'd figure out this go for the rom-com angle of, like, oh, Chill Ultrafor is like a piece of shit. He's a douchebag. Like,
is
oh,
he
fuck this
beating
guy.
her or something? Like,
There's like
what's going
nothing.
on?
There's nothing wrong with him. He seems like a normal guy.
He's
And
a
just
normal
like.
guy. He's working in Alan Rickman's office because everybody works in Alan Rickman's office in the Love Actually verse.
Yeah.
That's the only place that people could be employed. The only
Yeah.
place that people could be employed whatsoever. And
But
like it's a very iconic moment. It's probably the moment that most people know from the movie. And I'm like, why? Why? Because he drops some cards and then Taylor Swift put it in a music video 10 years later. Like,
exactly. So, I mean, like, at the end of the day, too, it's just like, how creepy it is at the end where, like, she kisses him and then he, like, walks away and he says to himself, like, enough, enough, enough. And it's just like, all right, like, so you're gonna be fine with being friends, but you're really not really. You're probably gonna be like thinking about this for the rest of your life, how she kissed you that one time. So, and real quick,
also, why is she kissing him? What the fuck?
what the fuck? Just not touched upon whatsoever. And just
Like,
like, well,
this
that's
movie is
good.
about love and like the complex nature of love, but it's like it tries to go for this really cute, cutesy vibe, but like this is it's a kind of an ug it kind of shows how ugly love can be. Like, two of the characters are getting cheated on straight up. One of them is going to America just to get laid, which we haven't even
Which
touched on.
I like that subplot because
It,
it
to
was
be
so
fair, if
stupid.
there's one, if it's so stupid, he's the guy. The kid is in the movie for 5 minutes, and then we follow him to Mo. He's like, "I'm going to Milwaukee." I'm like, "Dude, why would you go to Milwaukee, man?" Like that. It's I don't have a problem with
No,
Milwaukee, but if
it
it's
was a
my
funny
first,
point.
it's a funny point. And then he goes in, and it's. Jan it's like very young January Jones and like they're like, wow,
Oh, he's a Coobert.
you have a British accent, wow, where are you staying? Oh, you can stay with us, but it we only have one bed and no couch, and it gets so sweaty we just have to sleep naked. I hope you don't mind. I'm like, what is this movie? Like, what the fuck is this?
It's just a fun little like tangent right there. And apparently, like it's they put it in that he goes to Milwaukee because for someone in Britain, like something like New York or LA would be cliche, but like Milwaukee, that's exotic. Oh, no, I've never been to Milwaukee. Whereas for us, it's
Milwaukee's
like, whereas
exotic.
for us, it's like, why the fuck would we go to Milwaukee ever?
Milwaukee's exotic.
Yeah, but
The
I
only
do love
reason you
his.
should go to Milwaukee is for an Alice Cooper concert if you live in Chicago and you run a local television show because that's Wayne's World. Wayne's
Yeah.
World.
Exactly. So, real back to Keira Knightley though. This was like really her breakout year in a way. I mean, the year before she had been at like Beckham, which really broke was like a starring role and it was a big hit. And then this year was the same year as Pirates of the Caribbean. So
She was
she,
17 when she filmed Pirates of the Caribbean.
yeah, or maybe
Damn.
16 because you think they probably did
Jesus.
the year before, which is insane to think about too. So, also, though, what really happened to Keira Knightley? I feel like we don't see her as much anymore. Apparently, she came off a Netflix show that came out like a week ago, and
Okay.
that just went straight into the ether, like all Netflix shows did. She was in a good movie like a couple years ago called like Silent Night, but again, like I feel like she hasn't popped up a lot.
Well, she was in Pride and Prejudice. Like, I feel like The Imitation Game was the last big thing she did. She was
And she
in
was, oh, she was
Pirates,
a cameo in one of the Pirates movies,
Dead
and
Man Tells No Tales.
She was in The Nutcracker and the Four Realms, a movie that I only know for being shitty.
Yeah, I didn't see
So
it. Yeah, it's not a great career, but I feel like, I
it's
don't
kind of what happens in Hollywood. You turn 30 and then it's like,
know. It's like
unfortunately.
it's the toy, it's the Toy Story. I don't want to play with you anymore.
Exactly. It's the unfortunate reality of
It's
all.
unfortunate for women because especially female actresses, it's like if you turn 30 and you won't just start playing moms in everything that you do, I don't want to play with you anymore,
Do
boo.
I want to tell you the existential
Well,
moment I had at the theater over the weekend where, like, I was watching the trailer for, like, the Wolfman movie, and the girl from fucking Ozark, what's her name? Julia Gardner, where she was, like, in a mom role already. I was like, fuck, actresses my age are already just relegated to the mom role. Like, fuck, I'm getting old.
I mean, a lot of people in their 30s have kids, Tommy.
I guess, yeah, maybe not for me, but. anyways, so Andrew Lincoln. Okay, performance. Tim, what's your take on Walking Dead? Did you watch it? Did you give a shit ever?
The Walking, I never watched a single episode. I'm not a zombie guy. And then Frank Darabont left the show after the first season, and now then I heard it was like, isn't the Walking Dead still airing? Like, there's still
Oh
people
yeah.
that watch it.
They I mean, I just have to say, like, for Andrew Lincoln, what a fucking role. Like, you started some zombie show, like, fucking, like, in 2010. You're still acting, like, you still get that paycheck. Go
Still
get your
getting
fucking
paid, yeah.
paycheck. Yeah, go get paid, Andrew
You're
Lincoln.
still getting paid. Take that money, man.
So, yeah, we didn't really talk about Alan Rickman right here, who cheats on his wife. I will say it was very jarring going from watching Die Hard the night before to immediately going to this, where I was like, oh, him in a more charming performance.
Was it
In
though?
a way.
It was like Severus Snape levels charm.
It's Alan Rickman's version of charm.
I guess. Yeah, he's a little bit more. It's not that he's not charming, but he's not charming in a rom-com kind of way.
It's a little different. He's like, he almost felt like this sarcastic friend in a way.
Yeah, he felt like the one sequence that he had that was very humorous was with Rowan Atkinson, where he's shopping with his wife, who he just buys a scarf for Christmas every year. Like, how have you, whatever. And then he's like, right before he meets up with her, his secretary, who he's boinking, she's like, no, I expect something nice and flashy. And like, she's like, I'm gonna go shop for, then Emma Thompson's like, I'm gonna go shop for our mothers. And then he's like trying to get a piece of jewelry for her in that time, because he doesn't care. Like, he comes off very uncaring in this movie, just like in general about people.
I feel like that's the default Alan Rickman mode.
Yeah, full Alan Rickman mode. And he's Rowan Atkinson's the store clerk, and he's like, do you like that gift wrap? And I will actually say, to this movie's credit, I was very tense during that scene. I was like, this is a very tense scene, and also very funny. Like, that's a good bit of filmmaking right there. Like, listen, I'm not afraid to tip my cap to the movie when it works. I just don't think the movie works.
Agree to disagree.
Agree to disagree. They all like intersect at a like, here's my other thing. It's like too cute, right? Like, so the Hugh Grant, the Prime Minister, right? He gets a card from Natalie on Christmas Eve and is like, just like, P.S. I'm always yours, whatever. He only knows which street she's on, so he just starts like knocking on house doors. He knocks on like two or three houses, sings a carol at one of them, whatever. You know, the same joke of like, are you who I think you are? And it's like, yep. And then Mia, the guy that Alan Rickman is cheating on his wife with, the girl, it's like, she's like, is Natalie here? And she's like, no, she lives next door. I'm like, is this movie serious right now? Like, it's so much like wink, 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 wink. Look what's happening. Movie magic. It's movie magic. Can you believe it? Can you believe that it's a character intersecting with another character that had no relation to the plot together?
Wow.
Yeah, it's a big wow, kind of movie. And it just like it just didn't work for me. And then it was just then it like there was a pageant, and the girl that Liam Neeson's son is in love with, who we haven't seen yet, is now singing All I Want for Christmas Is You. And you know what? Vocals damn good on that performance, I'm not gonna lie. But again, it's like one of these things where it's just like we're being told, but we're not seeing a lot. And it's just that's where my issues are with this movie. It's a lot of
I
tell,
mean,
don't show.
I'm not gonna disagree with you. I mean, like this is overstuffed for sure, and definitely give some moments to breathe. But I feel like because of the actors they have in hand, it's so charming that I don't really mind as
Listen,
much.
this movie has such a stacked cast that it's gotten put into Christmas classic territory that it has no business being in. This should be a forgotten piece of trash.
I can see why. I don't think it's a piece of trash whatsoever. I
I
think this is a
was,
charming movie. I think the
I don't think it's a
performances really
charming
carry
movie.
this movie.
I think there's some cute, I think there's some funny moments in here. I think there's some funny moments, and that's it. I don't think the movie's that cute, because like the cutest moment is about a guy trying to steal his best friend's wife from him. That is like the definitive
No,
cute moment of the movie.
the cutest moment is the little kid throughout the movie who's fucking Liam Neeson's son, who's like trying to like
Oh.
win over the like his love of his life and stuff like that. I
Dude,
think the
both of
kid.
them, dude, that kid lost his mother and he lost his wife, and it is just brushed to the side because he's just like, I'm in love actually. Like, what?
Yeah. Fuck it.
I
I guess maybe the mom was an awful mom. We don't know. We don't know the backstory.
hope
Can be
not.
explained away. Yeah.
I guess, but again, these are context clues. I just like, I guess we kind of mentioned Colin Firth and the Portuguese gal, and then it resolves with her learning English and him learning Portuguese, and then him flying to Portugal to propose to her, and not even just being like, hey, we should grab a cup of coffee. No, let's get married. It's just it's a silly movie, and then don't get me started on the end where the Prime Minister, who most certainly has his own flights, a British rock star, and then Alan Rickman got a happy ending in this movie that he did not deserve. Like, he's cheating on his wife, she calls him out for it, we don't hear any resolution, and then he gets off an airplane a month after Christmas, and it's just like, how you doing? I'm fine. Okay, good. And then they walk away, and I'm like, what?
I think it's kind of like a little half-assed ending. Apparently, Rowan Atkinson at the end, how he's able to get like the little kids and Neeson's stepson away. There apparently we're gonna have like a reveal that Rowan Atkinson was supposed to be a Christmas angel, and that's how he was like able to do all this shit. And I was like, they dropped that, and it's probably good that they dropped that because then that
It
brings
made
a whole
no
other can of
it
worms. It
makes
makes
no
no
sense
sense.
makes no
What's the
sense.
So he's a Christmas angel for the little kid, but for Alan Rickman, he's just a piece of shit. He's like,
He's
yeah,
a...
I'm gonna let you get revealed that you're cheating on your wife. So.
because you were taking your because he's like he just keeps rushing through it. But I hated the ending of this movie. I'm not a fan of this movie. I'm hoping I'm convincing you a little bit. I just think it
No.
completely falls apart.
No, I think that this movie is like a perfect little like not perfect, but it's
Perfect is a
just it
stretch.
no, I don't mean to say perfect, but no, I think it's a fun little like Sunday lazy morning watch kind of movie, and I think the cast performances really carry this in a way where it is overstuffed. It's not perfect. I mean, it
It's
definitely
not
has the
good.
flaws, and I agree with some of your flaws, but I think some of the vignettes are eh. But
Most of
overall,
them
I'm
are.
caught over by the charm.
That's where I disagree. I just don't think there's any charm. I think it's like an illusion of charm. Like, people are like, this is such a charming movie, but then you actually look at what's going on in the movie and you're like, this movie's not charming at all.
Well, there's some parts like I think the Keira Knightley thing is just like okay, that just ends up being creepy more than anything. But I think
No,
that
that's the lasting legacy of the movie. Yes, well, people, what do you think of Love
yeah,
Actually? That's what they think of.
but this is a movie that's 135 minutes, and that's maybe 20 minutes of that whole movie.
Not
And I
even.
think
It's
that
like five.
yeah. So I think that there's other parts of this movie, like the Bill Nighy part, I think is really charming, really fun of him just being a dickhead rockhead. I think that Liam Neeson and his stepson is just really cute and precocious right here. Colin Firth, whatever, I could do give or take with it. But Hugh Grant, I think that that could have been expanded to a whole rom-com in itself. It is charming when it is. I just liked Hugh Grant dancing the Pointer Sisters. I thought that was a fun little moment because
Yeah,
I've definitely been there.
that's like the other iconic thing is him just like doing his little shoulder things. Like, those are the two lasting legacies of this movie. And I don't know. I just, it didn't stink for me. But let's talk about the actual good part of this movie here, the cast, shall we?
I am a star. I'm a star, I'm a star, I'm a star. I am a big, bright, shining star.
All right, we got a power cast here, stacked, all given limited screen time relative to what they would normally get. Tommy, who is the star of the show? Who gave the best performance?
I'm gonna go with Bill Nighy. If there's anyone that was a breakout of this, I think he was. I think that he was just a very fun little dick right here, and I think that, like, I can see in a way in the plot of the movie where, like, why I got to number one because he just was failing upwards in a way of just like, I don't give a shit about this, and people thought that was refreshing. And I thought that he was just really, like, charming in a way. I think that he was just a fun little comedic performance right in there, where I kept on laughing about, like, how over the top his, like, Robert Palmer-esque videos were of, like, the girls dressed up in, like, the Christmas outfits and stuff like that. And I did like the little end of him when his manager was like, yeah, I've probably only really spent stuff with you, so let's just get drunk and watch porn. Fuck it. Fuck it. Hanging out with Elton John, I'm gonna hang out with you instead.
I'm gonna go with Laura Linney. I thought she had like the one, like, here's my other counter to this. It's like all these ideas for a rom-com, yet it's a bunch of vignettes. And this is the only one that actually feels like a proper vignette, in my opinion. Like, of like cause and effect. Like, I feel like that's really good for very short story vignettes, putting a bunch of stories together. Like, you had a true beginning, middle, and end of this one. And I feel like everything else kind of just like continuing on. But I thought her performance, I thought she was very vulnerable, and kind of really gave that, like, allowed me to connect to her character in those moments. I thought she was just really good in this movie and kind of outshone everybody else, including Bill Nighy.
I do also have to, like, shout out though with Laura Linney, where she was going back and forth between this and, like, Boston for Mystic River, because she was filming both at the same time.
That's impressive. Tip of the cap to you, Laura Linney. You were the star of the show in Love Actually, in my opinion.
Ah, are you ready, comedy partner? Waka waka.
Tommy, Muppets adaptation, Love Actually? Muppet Actually?
I can see that in a way. I mean, some of the performances, like, give a little way to it. I mean, you could definitely have, like, what it be like, Miss Piggy would be Keira Knightley.
Are there enough girl? Are there enough female Muppets to even do this?
That's another question. I mean, you
That's
have
a very big question here. What if all the men
girl
are
Mupp.
Muppets and all the girls are?
This is Google right now. So, girl Muppets, you have Janice, you have Sesame Street, you have Abby, you have the
Piggy.
Muppet that was the Muppet that
If we're
was
starting to go
the
into extras and not named characters, it's almost like a hard no, you know?
in a way, but, like, if you want to break it down a little bit, if you get a little clever, I mean, I think you keep, like, Hugh Grant, in a way, just as the Prime Minister, and Billy Bob
No,
Thornton is
I want to see a Muppet do the dance.
okay, that's fair, that's fair. Billy Bob Thornton would obviously be Sam the Eagle, I guess. Or would that be
Yeah,
Alan Rickman?
America, come on now.
Yeah, so.
I'd keep Bill Nighy as the human.
That'd be good. That'd be good. And Andrew Lincoln would be Gonzo, and Kermit would
Fozzie would be the guy that goes to America.
Gonzo would be cucking Kermit. That's what we need right now. This is what Disney needs to be.
This is what Disney needs right now. You need to save the Muppets, and we're here to do it. With a Love Actually, but I don't think it'll top a Muppet Christmas Carol, which is a perfect movie if you've never seen it before. Go watch it. All right. Review time, Tommy. Give me your score to five. I'm only going to be slightly judging you.
This is a movie, to be honest, I watched while I was doing laundry, but I was paying attention while I was watching it. I think that this is a movie that is definitely overstuffed. Richard Curtis could definitely have cut down, like, a couple scenes right here and there. Some vignettes didn't work as well as others, but overall, I was caught by the cast. I thought I was charmed by the cast right there. I think they elevated what could have just been, like, poorly sketched out characters, which they are. So I'm thinking 3.5 out of 5. I did have a good time with this. I could see rewatching this, and some performances like Bill Nighy, Hugh Grant, definitely regret. I would have loved to see him in a more expanded role in that aspect. So 3.5 out of 5 for me. 7 out of 10.
We don't do that.
Okay, movie.
Okay, I'm gonna go 1.5 out of 5.
Fuck.
I think this movie sucks. I think it's a bloated mess. I can't believe it was over 2 hours long. I like kept looking at the time of how long this movie was gonna take me to watch. The only story I really connected with was Laura Linney's. I felt like it was an actual story where everything else was like a bigger movie idea. And then they just took like one or two scenes from those movies and just threw them into the movie. And then it didn't end in a satisfying way. I didn't think it was a cute, I think it was like a cute illusion. I think people get like, they look in Liam Neeson and Colin Firth and Hugh Laurie's eyes and they just get blinded by it. I think it's a mess of a movie. I hope I never have to watch it again. 1.5 out of 5. Don't watch this movie. It sucks.
So this is not one of your girlfriend's favorites.
She actually is in agreement with me. She does not like this movie either.
Wow,
She wouldn't
damn.
even watch it with me. That's how much she does not like this movie.
She's like, oh, you gotta watch that movie.
She'd rather
This is
watch
a
Showgirls than this, okay?
okay, So take that for what you will.
Take that for what you will. All right, Tommy, any final thoughts before we wrap up this episode?
Well, thank you guys so much for listening. You can follow us on social media. That's at CNetPod. That's on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Threads. We're also on Blue Sky. We're pod CNet at bluesky.social over there. And leave us a 5-star review. Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast, helps us out, helps us grow the show. Next week, we're covering one of Timmy's favorite directors in a movie he's never seen that I just watched about like 3 hours ago. Eyes Wide Shut.
Apparently
The
a
Stanley
Christmas
Kubrick
movie.
final movie.
It's
It takes
apparently
place during
is
Christmas.
it's a sex pervert Christmas movie. We're just trying to celebrate the season the only way we know how. Thank
Yeah,
you all.
exactly. Another Way of
So
Love.
it's
Is
our
this Love
way.
Actually?
It's going to be better than Love Actually. That's all I know. Thank you all so much for listening. We will see you next time.